Bishus Mar Da'aser, Rabbi Alman, Rabbi Tokayer, Ron and Rabban, Rabbi Isai, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it's my privilege and my schus to speak to you here 4 days before Yom Kippur, under the auspices and sponsorship of Just One Life. At the risk of sounding repetitive, it always strikes me that in these days in which we are asking for chayim, asking for life, it seems to me very logical and appropriate that if we provide life and we help bring life into the world, the mida keneged mida of that is that we should be zeichet to chayim. So in these days of zachreinu l'chayim, el hafetz b'chayim, by giving it to an organization like Just One Life, that will be a schus for us to be zeichet to chayim as well. Anyone who's ever davened in a yeshiva during the Yom HaNoraim knows that seating is at a premium. No matter what yeshivas do in terms of taking out the tables and the shtenders, there never seems to be enough room. The Ponovitch Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael is certainly no exception. One year, one of the administrators came up with an idea of making more room for the bochrim, for the men. And that was to put a mechitza down the middle of the Ezra's Nashim, sacrificing some seats of the women, but this way gaining more seats for the men. When this idea was presented to Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he was adamant in his response. And he said, absolutely no way. Without quoting his words, but this is paraphrasing what he had said. Which women come to the Ponovitch Yeshiva to daven on the Yom HaNoraim? Do you know who comes? Women who have children are at home, can't come. So who comes? Many are widows who have no one at home. Some are older girls who are davening for Shiduchim, or married women who have no children and are praying for children. We cannot lessen the space for these women. And then Rav Shach said an amazing thing. The tefillahs of the entire yeshiva ascend to Shamayim on the backs of the davening of these women. We need them for our tefillahs to be accepted. Rav Shach certainly knew something about why and how tefillahs are accepted. And it has to do precisely with these types of women. And let me try to speculate what Rav Shach meant. In the Haftarah that we read before Tisha B'Av, in which Yishai HaNavi chastises Klal Yisrael for all their averas, the Navi says something that's chilling to any single Jew. And when you will raise your hands in tefillah, I will shut my eyes. Gam kisar b'tefillah eineni shemeya. And when you will daven, I will not listen. Nothing could be more upsetting to a yid to hear those words, that the Ribbono Shel Olam Chas V'Shalom won't answer our tefillahs. And that's a plague from which we suffer today as well. It seems that the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't always hear our tefillahs. Let's try to explain tonight how we can get our tefillahs heard more effectively. Yeshaya then lists 10 things that we have to do to get our tefillahs accepted. Rachatsu, hizaku, cleanse yourself, make yourself pure. Asiru royam al aleichem, stop doing evil. Chidu hareya, limdu heite, learn to do good. And Yeshaya proceeds to list 10 different lishaynais of what we have to do in order to do tshuva. The culmination of that will be that the Ribbono Shel Olam will indeed say, L'chunovin yivacha yemar Hashem, em yuchateichem kashanim, if your sins will be as red as crimson, I will make them white. 10 steps. Rashi in Yeshaya, quoting a psikta, says that the 10 steps that Yeshaya lists are not because it's a nice round number, but says Rashi, Yud Asarish Shal Tshuva Yesh Kneged Aseris Yimei Tshuva. The 10 steps that the Navi enumerates, beginning with Rachatzu and ending with the word L'chuvna, are Kneged Aseris Yimei Tshuva. That on each of the Aseris Yimei Tshuva we have to begin with Rachatzu, a general call for cleansing ourselves, and ascending all the way to Erev Yom Kippur, which is Rivu Almana. The Avoda of Erev Yom Kippur seems to be Rivu Almana. What does Rivu Almana mean? Says Rashi in Yeshaya, Hishtadlu Beriva Lehisvakech Ba'ado Sheena Yetzas Lachzer Acharei Baleidina. Take up the cause of the widow. The widow who many times feels helpless and invisible. The widow whose own cause is sometimes overlooked. Who, because of her situation, has lost her voice in the community, who perhaps feel that she doesn't count anymore. This is the Avodah of Erev Yom Kippur. Rivu Almana. Take up the cause of the Almana. And with those 10 steps, beginning with Rachatzu and culminating with Rivu Almana, the Ribbono Shel'Olam will once again answer our tefillos. That's the prescription that Yeshaya HaNavi prescribes for us, what we must do in these days. Beginning with Rachatzu on Erev Yom Kippur, this coming Friday, Rivu Almana. Take up the cause of the Almana. And yet, from an equally impeccable source, we find a different formula for the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and a different Avoda for Erev Yom Kippur. And that source is none less than another Navi, Eliyo HaNavi, as recorded in the Tanna Dabei Eliyo. Says the Tanna Dabei Eliyo, Aseres Yomi Mireish Hashanah Ad Yemi Kippurim, the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur is Keneged Aseres HaDibris. It's Keneged Aseres HaDibris. Each one of the days of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva is Keneged one of the days of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Some of them are very easy to figure out. Anoichi Hashem Aleikecha, the first of the Aseres HaDibris, has to do with Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, when we once again accept the sovereignty of the Ribbono Shel'Olam. That makes sense. Some of them are more difficult to figure out. But if you follow the formula through, according to the Tanur Be'eliyahu, the Avoda of Erev Yom Kippur, what we must concentrate on Erev Yom Kippur is the 9th of the Aseres HaDibros, which is Leisana Bereacha Eid Shokir, bearing false witness against another Jew. That is the Avoda of Erev Yom Kippur. I doubt that anybody in this room has been guilty of Leisana Bereacha Eid Shokir. And yet this is what Eliyahu HaNavi tells us that we must do on Erev Yom Kippur. How do we reconcile these two midrashim? That Yeshaya HaNavi says that Erev Yom Kippur is about Rivu Almana, and Eliyahu HaNavi says that Erev Yom Kippur is about Leisana Bereacha, bearing false witness. In order to understand this, we first have to grasp what it means, Rivu Almana. It does not merely mean that if an Almana knocks on our door and tells us her tale of woe, that we should respond to that. One has to have a heart of stone not to respond. This cannot be the culmination of the entire Aseres Yimei Tshuva, to be nice to an Almana that's standing in front of us. What the Navi is telling us is a higher form of compassion, a more subtle form of compassion, and that's the type of compassion about being proactive when it comes to Almana. to think and to try to imagine all the people out there in our community who have been so buffeted by the vagaries of life, who have almost given up. That's who need our aid and comfort. That's the Riv Almana. Not the simple Pashat the Riv Almana, but the Riv Almana that takes creativity, that takes thinking, that takes planning, to think who's out there. That's the Riv Almana. You want an example of what it means, Riv Almana? Let me tell you an amazing story that Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky wrote up. I'm sure many of you have heard of Rav Zelig Epstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Zelig Epstein was the last of the great European Rashivas. He was not only a Goyin and a Tzadik, but he was a Meshunadik Pikeach. He was a very wise man. When one of my children had a life's shaila to decide, I sent them and arranged that they should see Reb Zelig Epstein, because he is the smartest man at the time that I knew. There was a couple that survived the Holocaust that came to America and raised a family, but the husband never recovered from his experience during the Holocaust. And unfortunately, he took his life. His almana was a very fragile woman, a woman that needed constant encouragement, constant emotional support, constantly a figurative shoulder upon which to cry. Reb Zelig was that person. He was there for this woman. He took care of her, this woman. He encouraged her. One year, one of her children became seriously ill. Reb Zelig Epstein stepped into the breach and handled all of the medical issues to keep this child alive. But as fate would have it, on Erev Yom Kippur, the child died, Rachmana Litzlan. Late enough in the day that the Levaya could not be before Yom Kippur. Reb Zelig was walking to Kol Nidre, and all of a sudden it hit him that maybe this woman would meet the same fate as her husband. Maybe this would be the straw that would break the camel's back. So there and then Reb Zelig decided not to daven in his regular place, but to walk to this woman's home and to spend Yom Kippur with her to make sure that she would survive. And then it hit Reb Zelig that it would take him over an hour to walk to this woman's house, and maybe she wouldn't make it. So Reb Zelig said, you know what I should do? I'll take a bus so I get there faster. But he didn't want to accept the achrayus of that psak on his own. So Reb Zelig, on his way, walked into Teira Vadas and walked up to his mentor, Reb Yankiv Kamenetsky, in the middle of Birchas Kriyashma. And he went up to Reb Yankiv in front of the whole yeshiva and whispered something in his ear, and it was the shaila, can I take a bus on Yom Kippur? And Reb Yankiv nodded his head and pointed to some coins that he kept by his shtender for his own bus fare after Yom Kippur. And Reb Zelig Epstein on Yom Kippur took a bus to be with an almana. That's Riv Almana. That's thinking about the people out there and what they're going through. But lest you think that this speech is about almanas and widows, you're making a mistake. Because the terminology almana doesn't merely mean a widow. It means anyone who's down on their luck. Anyone who feels abandoned, Rashi tells us as much in Chumash on the pasuk of Kol Amana V'Yosem Leisa'anun. Says Rashi, Hu Hadin L'Chol Adam. That when the Torah mentions the word Amana, it means any person. You know what an Amana is? An Amana is a person who's been out of work for 6 months. You know what an Amana is? A person with a debilitating disease. You know what an Amana is? A person with a disabled child. Or a child at risk. Or no child. That is why Rivu Amana is the culmination and the apex of Yom Kippur, of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. But because it requires for us to do something that we're not accustomed to doing. And that is step out of our own Dalet Amis and our own comfort zone and think about somebody else out there other than ourselves. Because for most people, out of sight is out of mind. And if we want our tefillahs answered, this is what we must do. We must expand our sphere of concern. But to paraphrase from Shimon Shkop, we have to expand the definition of our ani. We're all anis. We're all me's. But who is me? Says Reb Shimon, if you're a plain prosta yid, so your ani is you, your wife, and your children. If you have a bigger ani is your wife, your children, your extended family, your neighbors. But Reb Shimon says, if you're a true Adam Gadol, your ani is not only you, your family, your neighbors, but it can even be all of Klal Yisrael. And that's what Reb Shimon writes, is the definition of an Adam Gadol. An Adam Gadol is not merely someone who knows Shas and Peskim. An Adam Gadol who is a person who has a big ani, who thinks about someone other than himself. That's what Rivu Amana means. That's what we have to do these days and work ourselves up to Erev Yom Kippur. And Rivu Amana, think out of the box. Think, who needs me out there? Whose spirits can I uplift? Who can I help? We're resistant to that because we think that we'll be overwhelmed. We won't have any zich left. We won't have any pleasure in things and good times for ourselves. But let me let you in on a little secret. The more we think about others, and the less we're focused on ourselves, the happier and more content people will be. Let me read you an email that I got from a friend of mine, who I've known for about 20, 25 years, a person at age 54, having never smoked a cigarette in his life, got lung cancer. He's been fighting cancer for the past 2 years, an epic battle with its ups and downs. He wrote me the following: after 2 years of fighting cancer, I've learned a great deal. I've observed how others deal with life-threatening diseases and recognize that the only thing we have control over is our attitude and how we choose to live our lives, knowing how precious it can be and how precarious it can be. Many people are focused on themselves and their tircha. They ask, why me? What did I do to deserve this? When visiting Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel this past January, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the Mir Roshiva, I had the privilege of observing how he conducts himself in spite of his advanced Parkinson's disease. Rav Finkel is outwardly focused. He thinks of others and does what chesed he can do, whether it's etzis, kind words, or just listening to people. He is not a man who lets his disease define him. Rather, he is a man with a mission who happens to have a disease. In my humble attempt to follow his example, and here's a profound thought, I have learned that by turning my attention to uplifting others, I am less obsessed with myself and my own situation, and find myself uplifted in the process. By expanding his ani, he doesn't think every waking moment about himself and his pain and his treatment. He's a happier person because he has a bigger ani. With this in mind, the Talmud Rebbe Shlita of Yerushalayim reconciles these two midrashim, reconciles the words of Yeshaya HaNavi that tells us that the work of Avedis, of Erev Yom Kippur, is Rivu Almona, about thinking about somebody else. And the Tana Debe Elio, the Elio HaNavi that tells us of all things Erev Yom Kippur is about Losana Bereach HaYitshoker. Says the Talmud Rebbe, why is Lisana Bereach HaYitshoker? Why does it merit to be in the Aseres HaDibros? Why is it such a heinous crime? Says the Talmud Rebbe, because Lisana Bereach HaYitshoker is a crime of premeditation. Premeditated, planned evil. Leisirtzach, murder, leisinuf, adultery. As bad as it is, but it could be a crime of the moment, a crime of passion. But if you know anything about Eidus, you know that in order to be an Eid Sheker, you have to sit and plan. How am I going to testify in Beis Din? You have to sit there for hours with the other witness and get your stories exactly to jive, because you know you're going to be interrogated by Beis Din and you're going to be asked every single prat. To bear false witness requires planning, creativity, preparation, hours and hours of mental thought, all to do somebody an evil and injustice. On Erev Yom Kippur, we have to do tshuva for all the mental energy and planning that we did into inappropriate behavior. And you know how you do that? You know how you fix that? You know how you fix what Lysana represents? This premeditated evil? It's Rivu Almana! It's premeditated, planned, creative good! Taking the time and the effort, the creativity, to think and to plan how I can bring joy to someone who is in pain. And even if you can't get them their job, you cannot give them a baby. You cannot get their child into yeshiva. But just knowing that there's someone out there who took the time to call, that someone is thinking about me, is enough to make their day. The Talmud Rebbe says over a ma'aseh with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman was made aware of a case of a girl in Yerushalayim who was 15 years old, through some very vicious and untrue rumors surrounded this girl. This girl was so broken that she did not want to step out of her house. Her father asked her, "Can I get you a seat in shul for Rosh Hashanah?" She says, "I'm not coming to shul. on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Shlomo Zalman wasn't involved in the intricacies of the case, but he was aware of it. You know what Rosh Shlomo Zalman, Pesach Ador, did on Erev Yom Kippur, on Erev Rosh Hashanah? He called up this girl and said, Vos Herzach, how are you? Her father subsequently told her, Shlomo Zalman, you are Mechaya Mesim. She went to her father and she said, Abba, get me a seat in the shul. Each and every one of us in this room can do that. No, admittedly, a phone call from any of us will not have the same impact as a cold call from Rosh Shlomo Zalman. But let me tell you, nobody in this room is as busy as Rosh Shlomo Zalman was. And he took the time to think about a 15-year-old girl who grew up and got married and is now a fine Ein Bi Yisrael. Pick up the phone. You know, I live across the street from Dr. Joel Jacobowitz, who's the son of the late Rabbi Emanuel Ward, Emanuel Jacobowitz, the former chief rabbi of the British Empire, and most recently his mother, Lady Amelie Jacobowitz, known as Lady J. She was nifter in April. At her levaya, they said over the following story. It's an incredible story. She spent Pesach, one Pesach, by a grandchild in Manchester, England. The day before Erev Pesach, she went up to her room at 9 o'clock in the morning and did not come down till midnight. When her grandson asked her, Oma, what were you doing for the last 15 hours? She says, I was making phone calls. 15 hours of phone calls. At the Shiva, she was a prominent person, but there are people that came to be Menachem Avil that the family, no one in the family had no clue who these people are. These were people who she was in the habit of calling on Erev Pesach, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, on Erev Shabbos. She was a guyon in phone calls. And that's what we have to do. Not only on Erev Yom Kippur, but throughout the year. Think about who's out there that you know that's down. And call them up or call her up and say, Vos Herzach. Think about all the almonas out there. And when you wake up tomorrow morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, ask yourself the following question. Is there an almona in my house? What do you mean with that? I'm alive and well. Because maybe there's some women out there in our own houses that feel like almonas. Because they feel neglected. Because we're not there for them. And maybe there's some husbands out there that feel like widowers. Or some children out there who feel like yisaimim. Because we're so busy with everything else that they feel that there's no one that cares for me. And now we can truly appreciate what Rav Shach meant. Because to take away the space in the Ezras Noshem from those almonas and those single girls and those childless women is the antithesis of Rivu Almona. And a if we want our tefillahs to be answered, Hashaya Hanavi told us the secret, Riva Amana. So how could you dare take space away from them? Nalel Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur Banacht. Kol Nidre Night. It's not the night of Tisha B'Av. It's not a mournful night. But it's a somber night. I remember, this is a maaseh that goes back more than 40 years ago. I was still a bachur in yeshiva. And I remember walking the yeshiva home. Leil Yom Kippur, Rav Ruderman. He was old. He needed help going home. And I walked him home. Arm in arm, as was his wont to do. And you know what the yeshiva told me that night of Yom Kippur? You know what he said? He said absolutely nothing. This yeshiva that couldn't walk Dalet Amos without a kasha, a teretz, a ha'ara, a maisa, said nothing. You know why? Because he was scared. Because it's Leil Yom Kippur. Mi yichyeh mi yomos. Knowing that, you can appreciate the following story. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was once walking him back to his dear in Shari Ches in Yerushalayim on Leil Yom Kippur, the night of Yom Kippur called Nidre Night. And he passes a shtibel. And there he sees an amazing sight. A group of Yidden are sitting there, Leil Yom Kippur. And they're singing Nigunim. Yom Kippur Banacht. Visitzte Mesit Nigunim? This is not Simcha Space Hashoeva. And what was more incredible, that who was with them? The Chabina Rav. Rav Dov Berish Weidenfeld. Who arguably was the Gadol Hador. Rav Shlomo Zalman met the Chibina Rav after Yom Kippur and asked him, "My hi, was tutzach? Leil Yom Kippur mizitzte mizit nigunim?" The Chibina Rav told him, he said, "These Eden, they're Holocaust survivors. They lost their whole mishpachas in the war, like the Chabina Rav did himself. He lost 4 children. They had sabrach in the kelim. They don't crack a smile at Gansiar. They decided that they're going to sit and they're going to sing the nusach and the nigunim that they used to sing in the Alta Haim in Galicia. And for a few brief moments, they were transported from their misery that they lived in now to the Amalekiteg." The Chabina Rav Center of Shlomo Zalman, is there not a greater mitzvah on Leil Yom Kippur? Is this not what the Navi tells us on Yom Kippur? L'hach yais ruach shvolim, l'hach yais lev nitkoyim. To uplift and give life to those that are beaten down. Rivu Amona! Now, one of the advantages of being in this business is that people tell you stories all the time. I was sitting at my desk a couple weeks ago, and Rabbi Roden from Dallas, Texas, calls me and says, I have a story for you. He used to have a congregant in Dallas who was a pediatric emergency room physician who subsequently made Aliyah. One night she's in the emergency room in Shaare Tzedek Hospital, and in walks a bride, a kala, in gown, veil, and train. What are you doing in the emergency room? So any of you who have ever been a kala or had a kala know that a kala on the day of her chasana, it's her day. It's her big day. Every hair has to be in place. The makeup has to be perfect. Everything to a T. If there's one day of a person's life in which they're thinking about themselves, it's a kala on her wedding day. But not this kala. She says, I'm a bala schus. Everyone wants brachas from kalas. And then she proceeded to go to every single bed and crib in that emergency room and give brachas to all the children. That's rifu almana. That's having a bigger ani. It's about thinking about other people. That's the essence of Erev Yom Kippur. That's the essence of Yom Kippur. I'm sure that each and every one of you has some part of davening in the Yom Neroyim that hits a heartstring, that touches a chord. I don't mean Nisana Tekev. Everybody cries at Nisana Tekev. But something that hits you. You know what it is for me? It's at the end of the Avoda, where the Machzer writes and says that the Kohen Gadol b'shah shiyotza b'sholem in HaKadosh. The Kohen Gadol comes out of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. It's a Yerushalmi Neuma. V'kach hoysa tfilosei shel kohen gadol b'tzeisei min hakodesh b'sholom. This is what the kohen gadol davened when he came out of the kodesh kodeshim and he lived to tell the tale. Yiratzam afanach Hashem alakeinu alakei aviseinu. Shetei ashan azois, shnas zoyol, shnas soiva, shnas maso matin. It should be the year of Parnassa. Eden should have Parnassa. Shana Geshumo Shchuna. There should be enough rain so the crops will grow. And a couple of other selected things. And then, the Kohen Gadol would say, Va'al Anse Hasharon Hayoimer Yirotzain Shalo Yiyu Bateim Kivreim. And the people who lived in Sharon, that the ground was unstable and was subject to mudslides, and every so often they would be crushed, their houses would be crushed in mudslides, and they would die in their houses, Yirotzain Shelo Yiyu Bateim Kivreim. Anshe HaSharon. Always struck me. Why them? Out of all the people, all the needs of Klal Yisrael. I think perhaps the answer is that the Anshe HaSharon were a group of Nebuchs. They were there. Why did the kind God tell them to move? It's not my business. But they were there. And they lived with an impending sense of doom. And I'm the Kohen Gadol. I'm the Gadol. I have a big ani. I have to worry about the Anshei Hasharoim. You want a modern day example of Anshei Hasharoim? Lahavdil. The people who live on the Gulf Coast. August 29, 2005, Hurricane Katrina devastates New Orleans, Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi. Lives are lost, homes are ruined, entire city is wiped out. 5 years later, April 2010, the thing explodes, the BP oil spill. Weiter, their lives get wiped out. Zeh Rachmanes Avzei. I'm the Kohen Gadol. I have to think about them. I have to worry about them. Val Anshei Hasharoim Hayomer Yehi Ratzon Shelo Yibatem Kivrei. I knew someone who had a huge ani. He was outwardly focused, not only about him, not among his family, not only about his yeshiva, his own yeshiva, but Klal Yisrael. I'm referring to Rabbi Herman Neuberger, Zichrono Livracha, who was the longtime architect, executive director of Yeshivas Ner Yisrael. I had many, many stories with Rabbi Neuberger, but there's one that always struck me. The most bizarre thing that ever happened to me in my life, and it should remain the most bizarre thing. I was sitting in the Beis Medrash one morning with my shir. And a guy comes into the Beis Medrash and says, "Where is the rabbi?" So I sit in the first section of the Beis Medrash, and above says, "There's a rabbi." And he walks up to me in the Beis Medrash. He's carrying a bag. He takes out a knife from the bag. Thinking, what does he want with this knife? Does he have a Shiloh? And he takes the knife and he stabs me. He nicked me. You know, half the yeshiva tackled him. The police came. The ambulance came. It was nothing. It was scary, but it was nothing. The next day I went into Rabbi Neuberger. I heard that he's being arraigned in court now. I wanted this guy thrown in jail and to throw away the key. So I said to Rabbi Neuberger, "Can you do something?" So he quickly made a few phone calls, found out where he was being arraigned, dashed out of the office, dashed into his car. And he went to court. A couple hours later, he came back. Went into his office again. And I said, "Knew what happened?" And I'll never forget what he said. You know what he said? He says, "Rachmanes av zayn elteren." It's Rachmanes on his parents. This guy was an adult. He was deranged. He heard a voice that morning. He had to kill a rabbi. And his parents, who are already elderly people, they had to live with this fellow his whole life. And now they have this. This is the Rachmanis Hazeh. He didn't know them. But rather than seeing just the immediate need, he saw people in pain. Because he had a big ani. Because he had a very big ani. That's the one of the ways to get our tefillahs answered, to get our tefillahs heard. Riv Almana. Think creatively of how we can uplift people, help people. But there's another way, an amazing way. Something that can change the Ribbono Shel Olam's whole attitude towards us. It's something that we read on Yom Kippur morning in that Haftarah of Yom Kippur, where the Navi Yeshaya tells us the following. Oz Tikra V'Hashem Yaneh. You will do this, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will respond. Tishava V'yaymar Hineini. Cry out, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will say, Hineini! Here I am! Listen to this. There are 14 places in Tanakh, 14, where the expression Vayomer Hineini is used. 13 out of the 14 places, it's always the same context. A subordinate saying, at your service, to a superior. Here I am, at your service, subordinate to superior. L'mashal. Vayachar advarim ha'elav ha'elokim desas Avraham. Vayomer Elav Avraham, Vayomer Hineini. Vayar Hashem Kisor Lirois by Meshur Abenu. Vayar Av Elokim Mitaych Asne, the burning bush. Vayomer Meshur, Meshur, Vayomer Hineini. Here I am, subordinate to superior. Vayikra Hashem El Shmuel. Vayomer Hineini, subordinate to superior. One place in all of Tanakh breaks the pattern. Tishava Vayomar Hineini. We call out in Kaviyochol the Ribbono Shel Olam Bichvaydo V'atzmai says, at your service. Amazing. The Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyoch will say, here I am, what can I do for you? How do you get that? How do you get that? If I told you, give me $5,000, I'll tell you the secret, you'd write out a check on the spot. I'm giving you the key. You know what you do to get this? You don't have to cut off your right arm. You don't have to give up your firstborn child. You don't have to give up $5,000. You know what you got to do to get this relationship? Be nice to your relatives. The Here's the Gemara. Hamikarev es kroivov, olav akosav oimer, tishavav ayomer hineini. Amazing. Nothing very difficult. You don't have to learn Shas every year. You don't have to say Tilim, hold Tilim the whole Sefer every day. Very simple. I'm a karavis kreivov. What's the pshat? Says the Maral and the Chidushi HaGadis. The key is a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. Ki mi goy gadol. Who is like Klal Yisrael? Asher lo Elokim kreivim elav. Because the Rebbe the Shalom says, I'm your karav. You're my mishpacha. And therefore it's a very simple formula. You treat your kreivim like kreivim. You treat relatives and relations like you should treat them. Ich bin dein karav. I'm your relative. But you're marachik, you're kreivim. You have nothing to do with your kreivim. That's the type of karav you are. That's the type of karav I'll be with you. Very simple. As they state in Medrash, Omra Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Krav Chemani. I'm your Karav. Harei Ki Kadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Karav Li Yisrael. The Im Ha'odem Mekarves Krav writes the Maral, and if you're kind and nice and welcoming and open and warm, the Baruch Hashem will treat you the same way. As they state in Medrash. Pella. This is not difficult. This is natural. This is simple. Be nice to your kreivim. You'll ask me, is this a message for a tshuva drasha? Does this need to be said? Unfortunately, the answer is yes. I'm not a pulpit rabbi. I'm ensconced and cloistered in a yeshiva. But the limited experience that I do have, there are so many families out there that don't speak to each other. Siblings that don't attend each other's simchas. Parents that don't talk to children. It's common. And then we ask ourselves, why aren't our tefillahs answered? So many kinnusim, so many tefillin gatherings. Maybe part of the answer is it's because the way we treat our relatives. The Maral had a brother named, wrote a sefer called Sefer HaChaim. And he says something that's counterintuitive. He says the biggest hachnasas orchim is with your own family. You know, you think hachnasas orchim, you know, you see a guy in shul, a stranger, you don't know him from Adam, or bring them arayim, we get them a Friday night meal. Oh, this is hachnasas orchim. V'roi lo'odim l'karim sheinavim yudov afilo hein ashirin. V'zehu mitzvus hachnosas orchim shamanu chachamenu zal. And then the Maral's brother goes on to say that in ancient times, in biblical times, the Navi talks about this in Sefer Shmuel, that a zevach mishpacha. You know what a zevach mishpacha is? It's a family barbecue. They used to do that to maintain good relations. That's why their tefillahs may have been answered a lot sooner than ours. And that's maybe why our tefillahs aren't always answered. But tonight, we have presented two approaches for more effective tefillah. Number one, rivu almana. Step out of our own dalet amos. Expand our anis. Open our eyes and our ears to the needs of others. Think creatively about how to lift people's spirits, make their lives more pleasant, relieve some of their burdens. You want that synopsized in 10 words or less? Think about others. You want a catchy phrase? Reaching up by reaching out. You want to know how Reb Chaim Volozhiner says it? Shezeh kol ha'adam. This is what humanity is all about. Loi la'atzmei nivra, rak l'hoyo la'achrini. Not to live for yourself, but to live for others. And the second key is so simple. Be better relatives. Be b'shalom to the people who you should be the closest. Bury the hatchet. Who cares how it started? It's not important. The Navi is giving us gold. It's giving us the key. Oz tikra v'Hashem yane. Tishava v'yaymerine. Don't we want the Rebbeinu Shalom to say to us, here I am, what can I do for you? It's so simple. It's so basic. Be a good relative. It's an offer that no one should refuse. To have the Rebbeinu Shalom Kavi Yochel at our service. Teshava v'yoymer hineini. Marach simutayvah.